You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and the questions keep pouring in. A question from Dennis in Michigan. Before we go to your calls in just a moment, how does one oppose same-sex marriage in the culture and at the same time keep Paul's edict in 1 Corinthians 5:12 to not judge those outside of the church? And remember, this is not, in answer to the question, a matter of judgment. It is a matter of doing what we are called to do. That is, we are called to be salt and light. Which is to say, as Jesus put it, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. We should, in the public square, be able to be transforming agents of the culture. Unfortunately, all too often we become cultural imitators rather than cultural initiators. Marriage is a public institution with public consequences, and if it were not, no one would be clamoring for same-sex marriage to be legally sanctioned. The reason we're having the debate in the first place is because, by definition, it's about public recognition and approval, not private vows. A just and limited state simply recognizes and protects what already exists. Marriage transcends every political system. It's based on human nature, and it's not merely a social convention that we're free to change. Rights come from our nature. Our nature comes from God, and the moment you begin to deny that, then you deny the basis of all other rights as well. So remember, we're not judging the culture, but we're making right judgments. What Jesus said about judgment is also, I think, instructive. He said we should not judge self-righteously or hypocritically, but that is not to say we shouldn't judge. Jesus makes clear we should judge. When we judge, we should make a right judgment. And if we abdicate our responsibilities in culture and we give the public debate over to those who deny the value of traditional marriage, the culture indeed will suffer the consequences. And as those who are stewards of the culture, we ought to exercise the very rights and privileges that we have been given by Almighty God. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Vanessa. She's listening in Modesto, California. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Hank. I believe in Matthew, Jesus was talking about when he comes again, the women who will be grinding away, one will be taken, and the men in the field, you know, one will be taken and one will be left. Can you explain this to me and expand on this? Because I'm having a hard time understanding what he's meaning.
Yeah. Remember the context, however, in Matthew chapter 24 deals with Jesus Christ. When he makes a prophecy about Jerusalem and the temple, he's leaving the temple, he's walking away, and his disciples begin to draw his attention to the glory of the temple, the glistening gold and the luminous limestone. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And then, of course, the disciples really have their interest peaked, and they want to know, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming judgment and the end of the age of sacrifice? In other words, when is this temple in Jerusalem going to be destroyed? And then Jesus lets them know that all of these things are going to happen within a generation, and of course, his prophecy was marvelously fulfilled. But in the context of this, Jesus goes on to say the very thing that you paraphrased. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That, says Jesus, is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. So in the coming judgment, there are going to be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other will be left. So Jesus is saying in the coming judgment, in the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, here's what you're going to see happen. The same thing that happened in the days of Noah. Noah was prophesying about the coming judgment as well. But a lot of people didn't want to listen to that, and therefore they're taken away in judgment. The same thing's going to happen right here. People are going to be taken away in judgment. In other words, they're going to be destroyed because they are not hearing the Master as he is prophesying what is going to happen in those days. So the taken away, some people have said, and it's quite humorous that this has to do with rapture or something like that, but obviously the context is talking about judgment.
Okay, great. That makes perfect sense to me, and I appreciate your explanation because that really kind of stumped me for the longest time, and I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, Vanessa. Back to the phone lines. I'll talk to Shannon, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Shannon.
Hi there. Just phoning in regards to, I was having a conversation today with students in my class, and we were talking about the differences between, say, the essentials in Christianity, or in class we were calling it kind of the big rocks of Christianity,
yeah,
as opposed to, say, some secondary issues, if you will. And anyway, so we ended up on the conversation. These were grade 10 students, and we ended up on the conversation of Trinity and triune God. And how this is a big rock in Christianity. But the kids asked a question that was amazing. And the question that they had that I want to ask is, when we get to heaven, will we see Jesus the Son and God the Father, in that are they two separate entities when we get to heaven? The idea of Jesus being an intercessor between God and man and those sorts of things.
Well, the mystery of the Trinity is that there is one God alone. So we are fiercely monotheistic. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in only one God. But we believe in personal self-distinctions within the Godhead, and so it will forever be. We also believe that Jesus Christ in the incarnation took on an additional nature. He took on a human nature. So he's one person with two natures, 100% divine and 100% human. Because he is forever theanthropos, God in flesh, certainly we will see him physically. But we will also see the Spirit. We will also see the Father. Why and how? Because see is a metaphor for know. And that is the very thing that we will have as a grand and glorious gift from God, the fullness of knowing God, to know God in his effulgence and his beauty and his glory, is something that we can attain to only in part in our present condition. But then when the Imago Dei, the image of God, is fully restored, we will be able to know him just as we are fully known. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Terrell. He's listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Terrell.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about the signs of the end days. When Jesus said in, I think it was in Luke, Jesus said that there will be mother against daughter and, you know, and so on and so on, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And that there will be nation against nation, will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be all kinds of disasters happening in, you know, certain places that, you know, they wouldn't usually happen in. And I'm saying, would you agree with me that those days are now?
No, of course I wouldn't, because the text is not talking about that. The text is very clearly in context talking about what happened with the destruction of Jerusalem. The Bible has nothing to do with what's going on in the present, except recognizing that all of the Bible is written for us, but none of it is written to us. And so the prophecies that people point to with respect to Isaiah's prophecies, like Isaiah 17 or Isaiah 7 and 8, have nothing whatsoever to do with the present time. They're actually fulfilled, and the fulfillment is clearly communicated in the Bible such that you can read about it in 2 Kings. So the notion that this has to do with the modern epic is simply misguided. We are coming to the station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, everything I talk about, you can usually find a resource on the web that will give you further and fuller information. Check it out at equip.org. Be right back.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Charles. He's listening in Illinois. Hi, Charles.
Hello. I had a question for you that my pastor and I were discussing during Bible study, and that is, can the devil read our minds?
No, the devil can't read our minds. He can, as it were, influence our thoughts. He does sit on our shoulder, using metaphorical language, and whisper into our ears. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it does impact the ear of the mind, so to speak. So there's mind-to-mind communication, and that's why, in fact, we are told to put on the full armor of God so that we can resist the evil one and his ploys.
But he can tempt you to sin just talking to you?
Well, he can tempt you, yes, and we don't know whether that temptation comes from the world, the flesh, or the devil. And I don't know that it is our prerogative or place to try to figure out where the temptation is coming from. The reality is we should prepare ourselves for that temptation by putting on the full armor of God. And this is precisely what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6. We are to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against principalities and powers of darkness.
Well, I thought these were external temptations. He said, no, he can put it in your mind.
Well, they are temptations that come from without. In other words, the devil can tempt us, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is one of the things emphasized by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
I know the shield and the helmet, and the sword. But what I was talking about is, can the devil tempt you through just talking to your mind?
Yes, he can tempt you through mind-to-mind communication. We don't know precisely how that works, but we do know that he can tempt us through mind-to-mind communication. We don't even know how the mind can cause the physical synapses of the brain to fire, but we know that the mind does. In the same way, we know we can be tempted in this way by the evil one, and that's why we are called to put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and that we are to fit our feet with the gospel of peace, that we are to take up the shield of faith, and as you've pointed out, the helmet of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are to pray at all times in the Spirit, and so forth. So the covering which we are given, or the full armor of God which we are given in Ephesians chapter 6, is so that we can stand against the ploys of the evil one, but also so that we can stand in the face of the world and the flesh as well.
Well, I just felt like God has the power to read our heart and our mind and knows our thoughts. And I just couldn't see him passing that to an angel or the devil.
Well, bingo, you're absolutely correct. And that's a very good insight on your part. It's completely biblical, and I would agree with it 100% because we are to test all our thoughts in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. So if you test what you just said in light of Scripture, I think you'll find that it is absolutely true. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Lynn. Lynn is listening in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. My question is, I lost a dear, dear pet, and I know a lot of people have pets, and they love them at different levels. This was an incredibly special gift in our lives, and a rescue dog just a couple of years ago, and she meant so much to me, and to the point where she came along at a point where I needed her desperately because of the stress level that I'd been through, and all she brought was joy and light, and I knew she was, you know, sent from God, and I was more grateful for her than anything else in my life, and I thanked God hundreds and hundreds of times over the last couple of years, and she was tragically taken from me a few weeks ago, and in a tragic accident, and I had to watch her die slowly, and it was so premature and tragic, I guess, and I know we're living in a fallen world. I know that bad things happen. But this was so strategic as far as had I lost my husband, that would have been the only worst thing that could have happened to me. And he felt the same way about her as I did because she was that special. And I know we don't have time to go into explain, you know, what made her so special. But it's almost like she was a more of a human than a dog. But so it's a very tragic thing that's happened in my life, and I just, it's completely blindsided me. And I know that all things happen, you know, ultimately for the good of all of us who love God and who are called according to His purpose. I understand that. So, of course, for the life of me, I can't understand how it's going to work out for my good, but does, I know bad things happen, but do you think that God allow this to happen for a particular reason, or it's just a part of just bad things happening? Again, the only worst thing that could have happened to me was as if my husband would have been taken.
Yeah, well, I am really sorry for your loss, and I can certainly identify with you, even if vicariously through my wife and through my kids, because we are animal lovers as well. And when one of our pets dies, and we have lots of cats and a dog, but when one of our beloved pets dies, and it's happened a number of times in the course of time, it is a very tragic and traumatic experience. So in some sense, I can identify with it. But here's the point, Lynn. I think that we can't answer the question why. And I think it's presumptuous to try to do so. And certainly presumptuous for me to try to say why this happened in your life in particular. If you read the book of Job, the one thing you get at the end of the day is a recognition that God oftentimes never answers the why question. He does something else. He teaches you to trust Him in the midst of your whys, which is to say He's revealed enough about His character, His nature, that we know He is trustworthy, and therefore we have to hold our pets, our children with open hands so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit and ultimately trust Him. And as you've correctly said, recognize afresh that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. We don't always know how, and eternity will reveal what we do not know at the present. The other thing, however, is that eternity may well be the reconciliation between you and your beloved pet, because in a Christian worldview, there's nothing that precludes the notion that petted pets are going to be with us again in the new heavens and the new earth.
Well, and I'm certainly looking forward to that, and I've chosen just as some relief for myself, without knowing for sure, but I knew that I didn't know of a scripture that told me that it wasn't so, that we would not meet our pets in heaven.
Yeah, I think it would seem incredible in the extreme to imagine that God would banish such wonders in paradise restored. If God resurrected our pets, I think it would be in total keeping with his overwhelming grace and goodness.
That's exactly as I see it. Now, the part that I didn't mention that made this a little harder to, I think, fathom is my husband actually ran over her.
Hmm.
And, of course, it was a tragic accident, and one you just wouldn't imagine how it happened, but it just happened. And of course, he's devastated as well because he saw how special she was. He has an older dog that he loves dearly, but he realized the difference that this dog was like just sent from heaven to us.
Well, again, this is a tragic circumstance, but God can bring good out of it. Indeed, not only can, but will. Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, but what it does give us is something far greater, a way to overcome them through the hope of resurrection and through the incredible relationship we can have with God in the present. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.